Can somebody get a hit? It's just up and down all the time. 1 minute, they're scoring 87 runs in a game. And the next minute, we have as many hits as Harry Doyle can count. It's awful. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whenever it is that you've decided to make Doug Franz Unplugged a part of your day, my family greatly appreciates it. You have found the only podcast in the world completely devoted to covering the four major sports franchises and all other teams in one major U.S. market. Cardinals, Suns, D-backs, Coyotes, Sun Devils, Wildcats, GCU, Prowlers, Rising, Mercury, and Phoenix. Ah, almost. There's something there, though. I don't know if I can get through all of them. I should have just said the Lopes. If I would have said Wildcats and Lopes, I think I got it. But I don't know if that gets a little silly. I think I tried. I was challenged by a listener to try to change the intro and get everybody in it. And I accept the challenge if I can make it sound good. And I have officially decided I can't make it sound good. So I'm going back to how it was before. Hey, how's your Wednesday? How did everything go yesterday? Everything good? Good to see you. Thank you very much for being a part of the Unplugged Army. I got a ton of responses. Yesterday, I brought up the fact that I've been offered an opportunity to do another podcast that would be Cardinals only. And those of you that emailed or tweeted me, oh my goodness, wow, thank you. It was really cool. There's just one catch. There was about 40. Obviously, if I have 40 completely devoted people that can say, yes, I can do all of these podcasts, then that's probably not going to be enough. But there's a little bit of news on that front. Yesterday, I recorded Props Arizona presented by Betfred Sports with Papa Bear Sean. So that drops today. I talked to him about this special podcast beforehand and said, do you think you'd like to do it with me? And he was all in. He said, I got to talk to my wife, but he liked the idea. So, you know, all right. So it went from a maybe to a no when I saw the response yesterday. And I mean that in a positive way. I don't owe anybody anything, and you don't owe me anything until we actually commit. You know what I mean? But for only 40 people to respond, there's nothing wrong with that. I understand you might have been busy. You didn't hear about it yesterday. But I need to know, boy, we're going to really crush it if I'm going to take on more, especially when I'm not getting paid for it, unless it becomes huge. If it becomes huge, then I do well. But I don't want to take that risk because I feel like I'm not giving you all I can on Doug Franz Unplugged. I will always give you all I have, but I want to make sure that the tank is closer to full. You know, it doesn't do any good if I give you all I have and I'm at an eighth of a tank one night. You know, I need to make sure I'm giving you all I've got and the tank is full. So I was leaning no. And then when he said he's kind of interested, I'm like, okay. So I'll probably reach out to the company that is doing the Cardinal-centric podcast and say, all right, you can have me, but here's some parameters. And I might ask for some things, especially like help with Doug Franz Unplugged, help with marketing. Maybe they can take over the marketing of the podcast or something like that. Because, I mean, all I have time to do is tweet stuff out, and that's about it. And my wife is so nice. She's the one that posts stories on Instagram for me earlier in the morning. So that's where I'm at with that. This week and next week, I'm going to have a couple cool guests on. I was really grabbed by, did you hear the breakdown yesterday? I don't know if you did. But the number one story of breakdown yesterday was the situation that's going on with Sky Harbor Airport and Phoenix versus Tempe and the Coyotes. And I decided two people that I think they're politicians, but I trust them more than just about any politician around. Sal DeCiccio of Phoenix City Council and Hugh Holman, who was the one-time mayor of Tempe. So I figured what a perfect idea to get a Phoenix point of view and a Tempe point of view. So we'll talk to Sal. I have no idea what that noise was. I just got a weird noise all of a sudden. Oh my gosh. It was a text from my brother-in-law at 4 a.m. Is Unplugged still going to be your primary show? It'd still be Monday through Friday, even with the new opportunity. Well, that's the thing. It's amazing, Brad, that you just texted me right in that moment that when I'm answering that question. I am choosing to keep Doug Franz unplugged every single day, and that won't change. And I'm choosing to make this my number one priority, right with Props Arizona, presented by Betfred Sports. Those people have been amazing to me, so I have undying loyalty to them. They helped get me out of the hole, and they were my immediate employer as soon as, you know, my contract ended at the old on the old show. So I owe them everything. So that's why I'm keeping these two as A and A1. And then this other podcast, if I do it, it would be, you know, I would like to prioritize it for you. You might tell me, Doug, I like Cardinals the most. I'm going to that one first. But if that one bombs, I still have a job. If the other two bomb, I don't. So I don't want to lose you to another thing that I'm doing. I don't want to, in a sense, compete with myself. That's where I'm at with that, Brad. So anyway, back to what I was talking about before. I think there's so many nuances and so much, you know, hand-wringing. Well, it's their fault, but we've got to do this. We've got to do this. And therefore, I want to go in this direction of having two guys on that I trust, Sal DeCiccio and Hugh Holman, to be able to look at it from both sides. So Sal DeCiccio will join us tomorrow, and then Hugh Holman will be on next week's show to look at it from the Phoenix standpoint and look at it from the Tempe standpoint. Okay, I know I already told you, but let me just rehash. Props Arizona, presented by Betfred Sports, should drop at some point this morning. I think we had a lot of fun. I really was entertained by the show. Find a way to watch it, and I tell you, if you are a gambler, I think I crushed a couple picks that are up tonight. Of course, I'm going to give them to you in versus Vegas as well, but please watch that. Man, we had a good time. We had a really good time. We had some pretty good arguments about different topics, so feel free to watch that, and then if you like some of the topics, email me, tweet me, and come at me with some of your opinions, and we'll discuss it here on Doug Franz Unplugged. And lastly, it looks like July 22nd will be the next event, and this is an East Side event. We were just on the West Side in June, so an East Side event in July. So let me know if you think you can make it. We don't have anything officially set up, but just try to clear Friday, July 22nd on your calendar and see if you can make some time, whether it be golf, whether it be just a quick beer for happy hour, whether it be dinner, whatever you can meet us for. We'd like to see you and say thanks for listening and being part of the Unplugged Army and watching Props Arizona. 4 Minute Offense is up next on Doug Franz Unplugged. Did you call yet? 602-899-7000. I've been telling you about Ideal Home Loans for years now. They have the mortgage on my home. It's easier for me to say the number over and over again, 602-899-7000. We chose them because, well, I had a friend that said they're good. That was really it. But then when I got to know them, the president, Brent, and talking to him, I realized this is what we want. I appreciated the way Joel, who was our actual guy that handled the loan as a loan officer, listened to what we had to say. That's why I made up the phrase, first they listen, then they lend. The reason why that matters is, let's say right now you're a little nervous because of interest rates, but you've got some bad credit card debt, and maybe your car's getting a little old. This is an amazing opportunity. Housing prices are not only stabilizing, they're just barely starting to come back down the mountain a little bit. That means you're losing the equity in your home. That's money you're losing. But you can call Ideal Home Loans before it's gone. 602-899-7000 or go to idealhomeloans.com.
Four minute offense.
Everything you need to know in sports that affects Maricopa County, the state of Arizona, and the world, you get in 4 minutes. We start things off in downtown Phoenix.
Diamondbacks a loser 4-0. Matt Bum actually pitched well. 5 innings, only gave up 1 earned run. It was the bullpen and the bats.
I just feel like we need to have smarter at-bats overall.
Torey Lovullo was not happy in the post-game press conference. Officially, the Diamondbacks had 3 hits, but one of them was a gift from a bad official score. It should have only been 2 hits.
I want to be respectful of their starting pitcher. I'll acknowledge that, but we didn't get after it the way I wanted us to. And I think, like I said, offensively, it's probably approach-based.
Combine a 3-hit shutout with a bullpen that gave up a run in every inning it pitched except one, you're going to have problems. Only good days offensively was David Peralta, who went 1-for-3 with a walk, and Buddy Kennedy, who also went 1-for-3. Diamondbacks flew to Colorado after the game. Off day in Denver today. They take on the Rockies tomorrow. Mercury a winner, 99-78. Been playing much better basketball ever since the team announced a contract divorce with Tina Charles. Head coach Vanessa Nygaard.
Like, maybe we had our foot in the trap, but we'll just go ahead and gnaw our foot off. We don't care. We're going to keep fighting. There's no quit in the Phoenix Mercury. There's no quit in our team on our roster. And you see that intensity coming from them.
The Mercury won the second half, 50-35. They only had 8 turnovers. And all 7 players who played double-figure minutes also had double figures in points. That's right. Almost as many players in double figures as they had turnovers. They improved their record to 9-12 and head to Chicago. Tip off Saturday morning at 10 against the Sky. NBA free agency today, 3 o'clock. It's on. DeAndre Ayton can sign anywhere he wants. Suns have 2 days to match it, or they lose the number 1 pick in the draft from just 4 years ago. Suns gave him a qualifying offer, which makes DeAndre a restricted free agent. They did not do the same thing for Aaron Holiday. So now the backup point guard is an unrestricted free agent. However, he can re-sign with the Suns. ASU fans, possibly an interesting move with James Harden. He turned down his $47.5 million player option. However, that might be simply to negotiate a long-term deal and stay in Philadelphia. Massive trade in which either the Spurs are creating room for DeAndre Ayton or they're tanking. 3 first-round picks they pick up from Atlanta. DeJounte Murray goes to the Hawks. That makes Murray and his backcourt mate Trae Young the first set of teammates in NBA history to ever start a season together when they're coming off a season where they average 20 points and 8 assists apiece. Coyotes slowly but surely getting ready for the NHL draft. It's not till July 7th this year. With a week to go before the draft, General Manager Bill Armstrong says they're not even remotely finished with their work.
We have a lot of work ahead of us as far as there's still more evaluation. There's still playoffs going in. Some of the kids are actually going over and playing in the World Championships, so there's more scouting to be done.
College basketball news. Michigan State and Gonzaga have agreed to a non-conference game on Veterans Day on an aircraft carrier. On November 11th, both teams will be in San Diego and they'll play off the coast on an aircraft carrier. That means Michigan State's non-conference schedule now includes Kentucky, Villanova, North Carolina, Oregon, and Gonzaga. And finally, what were you doing on June 8th, 1943? You want to talk about commitment? Hubert Malakote married his wife, Frances. Last month, they celebrated their 79th wedding anniversary. Coming up next week, she celebrates her 100th birthday. And then 10 days later, he celebrates his.
Okay, sound credits. The Mercury sent me the Vanessa Nygaard sound, the head coach of the Mercury, after their nice win. And then I got all the D-back stuff out of Bally Sports, Arizona. And I really didn't, let me check real quick. The Coyotes, you know what? The Coyotes didn't send me Bill Armstrong. I don't know why they didn't. They sent me an email that said he's going to be on, but they didn't send me an email with the actual sound, but I saw it on azcentral.com. So give them a free plug. I took it from them. This story, oh my gosh, you talk about commitment. This couple's been married 79 years. They live in Hamilton, Ohio, which is near Cincinnati. And the husband of the house, which is Hubert, and those names from the past are great, aren't they? Hubert. He worked at the same company for 50 years. 50 years. Said he hadn't been to church in a while, got invited to go to church. He said, all right. The back pew was empty. And as he went to sit in it, he noticed that the pew in front of him was full of young pretty girls, he said. And then Francis turned and looked at him and smiled. And that's when they started dating. Served his country in the Navy. Worked as a machinist for 50 years. She's the housewife raising the children. She ran a big garden behind the house. And actually, he said, you know, she canned stuff and preserved stuff. So we always had plenty of money because she was growing most of our food. And they asked the reason for success. And she said, well, we never fought. So 79 years of marriage, their anniversary last month. And coming up next week, she turns 100. And then 10 days later, he turns 100. Come on. They've been chosen to be grand marshals at a parade in some city in Ohio that I'm sure is just disgusting. It is just a horrible place to be. So hopefully they make it out of that city alive, whatever city it was. If you figure out what city it is, it's just not the city that we're going to speak of on Doug Franz Unplugged. I think it starts with an O or something, and then somebody put a big X on it because it's just a horrible place. All right. I figured one of the things we should do, free agency starts today at 3 o'clock, and all we've been doing is talking about DeAndre Ayton, DeAndre Ayton, DeAndre Ayton. And obviously, he is the number one story, okay? But one thing we haven't talked about is what are the Suns going to do in free agency? Now, what are their options here? So let's briefly go over the DA thing. And my thoughts on DA are, I think James Jones is totally the kind of general manager that doesn't really get emotionally attached to what's about to happen. It's just more matter of fact. But you set up the plan. If this happens, we'll do this. If this happens, we'll do this. You know, then that's it. And then let the circumstances dictate to you what's going to happen. Because they've already made the decision. He's not worth a max contract. And by giving him the qualifying offer, that does in a way mean they want him back. Now, clearly, he could still leave. But here's why it means they want him back. He can turn around right now and sign for $16.5 million, and he's a Son. That's it. He's there for 1 year. So if they didn't want him, they wouldn't offer him. And they clearly think he's worth $16.5 million, or they wouldn't have given him the qualifying offer. And if he wants to be an unrestricted free agent next year, which is a brilliant idea, he can sign it. And then I think the Suns are just going to sit back and say, okay, let's see what happens. And if he signs a contract with somebody that the Suns think is a fair value, they'll just match it. It's over. You're a Sun again. And you can't rescind that. There's no negotiating after that. You can't sign a contract with somebody else, an offer sheet is officially what it's called, and then have the Suns match, and then you say, never mind, I want to do something else. Can't. You immediately report to your team that is basically your still your team. And if the Suns look at the contract and say, you know what, it's close to what we want to pay, but maybe a little too much, then they'll threaten to match and ask for a sign and trade. Okay, what are you going to give us? Then DA makes more money and he's happy. And the team might be able to dump some of their contracts or give the Suns somebody back that they need or some draft picks. They can get something out of the deal. And if it's an outrageous deal and the Suns can't match, okay, fine, they can't match. And they're willing to lose him because they want him back, but not enough to really get all that worried about it. And I think that's fair because that's kind of how DA plays. Want to win, but I'm not really all that worried about it. So there's the DA portion of it. Now, let me go through some names here of players that maybe the Suns should be looking at. Let's first start if they lose DA. If they lose DA, I think I like Boucher the most. He's Toronto's center. Averages 9.5 points and 6.5 rebounds. But he's a little on the small side, 6'9", 200. I think I like going there, okay? There's Isaiah Hartenstein, which is, he's only 24 years old. He's 7'250". And by the way, how can you be only 250? And then 8'3 is his, I've never said that in my life, 8'3. He averages almost 8.5 points and 5 boards. I don't mind Hartenstein, but I feel like the rebound numbers should be higher. And if you're going to go in that direction, you need to get some rebounds. Now, Kevin Looney is a forward, but he plays center for the Warriors, and he's a good rebounder. He's at 7 boards a game, but he's supposedly on the small side, but he's a good rebounder. What about Nurkic, the center from Portland? He's giving you 15 points, 11 boards a game. I haven't looked up if he signed or anything. That was probably kind of important before I mentioned his name. But I like Nurkic. So there's a couple names if DeAndre Ayton goes. Okay, where do you pivot? Another name is Mo Bamba. He's a restricted free agent just like DA leaving Orlando. Mo Bamba is a guy I really liked as a player at Texas. And for some strange reason, I don't know what happened, people got into his head. And in my opinion, he became too infatuated with being a three-point shooter. He saw the success of the Brock Lopez's of the world and thought, you know, I want to do that. But it's not a shot that he shoots, oh, hey, I'm open, I should shoot it. It's almost like, you know, I'm supposed to be this great player because I was a top 10. I forget what number he got drafted. I think number 5, maybe number 8. But I'm supposed to be this great star, so I need to shoot it. So I'm going to shoot because I'm Mo Bamba. That kind of attitude, no, you shouldn't. And he got hurt a lot. So do I like the, I mean, if he stays healthy and he like learns from Chris Paul and quits trying to act and stops trying to act like he knows everything, well, then I love it. But boy, that's a big if, isn't it? So there's a couple names for you there. There's one name I'm going to give you, not to play center, but how do you feel about Jay Crowder? Jay Crowder's time here as a Sun has been awesome. Awesome. Devoted person, intelligent veteran, great glue guy, great guy for the young guys to learn how to be professional, good basketball IQ. And he brings a toughness that's needed. I think it's time for Jay to move on. What do you think about Milwaukee's Bobby Portis? He's a free agent. I love Bobby Portis. I loved him coming out of Arkansas. And honestly, I was wrong. It took him a little much longer. He could rebound from the time he was born. But it took him a lot longer to really manifest himself into a good player. And then at Milwaukee, he worked unbelievably hard on his three-point shooting, became a fantastic 3-and-D off-the-bench guy. He might start for us in Jay Crowder's spot, or maybe the Suns start a game a little small and go Cam Johnson at the four, or maybe they still bring Cam Johnson off the bench and Portis starts. But whatever you think of Jay Crowder's toughness, Bobby Portis has it. He plays the game even angrier than Jay Crowder. Now, Bobby Portis, make no mistake, you will lose a game because of a technical foul. He'll get a dumb technical foul when he shouldn't because of his emotions. But I think this is a team that needs those emotions, so I like Bobby Portis. One guy that I really want to challenge Robert Sarver to sign is Tyus Jones, and that's not going to be cheap. But that squarely says we want to win. This team has to get a high-level backup point guard that's almost a starter. And Chris Paul's minutes have to be reduced during the regular season. And therefore, it can't just be your average everyday backup point guard. Unless you're 100% sure that you know what happened last year to Campaign, I don't trust Campaign as the number two anymore. I want him as my number three, but I don't trust him as my number two. I'll lean on the Suns. I mean, obviously, Monty Williams, James Jones, they know him better than I do. I like the person, but I don't think Campaign did enough last year to merit automatic inclusion into the conversation at number two, as a number two point guard, not at the two. Tyus Jones, expensive, drop him right in. I want Tyus Jones. And if Robert Sarver doesn't get Tyus Jones, I am going to blame the money. I am going to accuse him of being cheap. I'm going to go down the train, the hallway that everybody's ever done to rip Robert Sarver. I get it that it alienates him, but is it about winning a championship or not? You're going to have to start keeping up. And Tyus Jones is one of those guys that can really help this team. Another name that I'll just throw out there and kind of like, you know what, this would be good, but I won't go crazy if we don't get him, Victor Oladipo. I loved him coming out in the draft. I loved the stories that he went through three key cards. You know, you might say, I don't care about that. Well, I did. There were key cards to get into the gym, and he went in so often he wore his out. at Indiana. I love that story. So I like Victor Oladipo. He has been a fantastic player when healthy. And there's got to be more than reasons of injuries. It's got to be more than just injuries on why he's bounced around the league so much. He puts up decent numbers and then people get rid of him. So that could be an issue when you're looking at a team that's fantastic with chemistry. Okay, why, Victor, you keep bouncing around? But I kind of believe the last couple years, it's been a forced humbleness for Victor of realizing with both the injuries and a career that hasn't really exploded, you're not what everybody thought you were. And therefore, being a bench player on a championship team is going to be much better for you now than thinking you're still the guy to lead the team to a championship as the number one guard. And Victor's a decent enough shooter that you can move in between the one and the two, especially with Booker being fine, being the point. So when you sit Chris Paul, you can have Oladipo in and Booker's at the point, or, you know, Victor can certainly handle the point if he has to. And then you're not going to have Tyus Jones and Victor Oladipo, but you see my point. You get one of those guys. Got to have one of those guys. I want Tyus Jones. But those are some of the names to keep your eye on. I said in the four-minute offense, the Suns have 2 days to match a DeAndre Ayton deal. That is accurate, but I probably should have explained it a little better. No one can sign a contract now. If you really want to know the truth, we don't know the deals, but the deals are done. Primarily, the major deals are done. Like, I guarantee you, DeAndre Ayton already knows who he's signing with. And the Suns probably already know how much it is. And then they've already decided, yeah, we'll match that, or no, we need to work out a sign and trade. And if it's going to be a sign and trade, then they'll work on it. But here's the thing. Free agency doesn't start the actual signings until next week. So it's at the point DA signs that the Suns have 2 days to determine if they're going to match or not. So anything you hear today, starting at 3 o'clock, that DeAndre Ayton has agreed to a deal somewhere, that doesn't mean he's playing for them. And the Suns probably won't say whether or not they're going to match. They'll make it sweat it out and wait until DA signs. So keep that in mind. I really think today at like 3:15, 3:30, and if you're listening to me now after 3 o'clock, I'm sorry, I don't know what's happening. But I think DA is probably signed somewhere already. I just have a sneaking suspicion the Suns are going to match. I think the Suns want to keep him. They just don't want to pay him a max contract. And they can match a deal that he signs with somebody else. And if he doesn't get what he's looking for, well, then he does sign the qualifying offer, and this is great. I still believe that's what he should do. Sign the qualifying offer, spend one more year with Chris Paul, be an unrestricted free agent, and go break the bank with somebody else. But it's not like they're asking me my opinion or anything like that. And don't forget, I really want to make Doug Franz Unplugged very interactive. And obviously, I can't take phone calls on a podcast. But I want to make sure I'm always answering your questions. I always want to make sure I'm right there for you, because you giving me your time means the world to me. And I have a job because of you. And that's why I always stress how important it is. Listen, if you and your buddies are trying to figure out, hey, where are we going to go tonight? Or where are we going to go for lunch? It's really important that you think of Bell's Nashville Kitchen. It's in Old Town in Scottsdale. It's really important to me that you think of either a burrito at lunch or breakfast. Man, that breakfast burrito at Burrito Express, woo, it's delicious. And I know that there's Rosati's all over the place, but if you're on the east side and you want a pizza, then think about Rosati's at Ray and McQueen. That's really important, but just you listening means the world. So why not have me give you my time and answer some of your questions? So if you think of something free agency-wise, if there's a term in sports that you've always wanted, okay, what does that really mean? Then shoot me an email, doug@dougfranzunplugged.com, or tweet me. That's just simply @unplugdoug, or post something on our, or post something to me on Instagram, and then I'll take a look at it, and I'll explain it on the show. And I'll get to it as soon as I can. All right, coming up next, the embarrassment that is the Diamondbacks offense. On Doug Franz Unplugged. I'm really angry about the Diamondbacks, but no rant today. And the reason why is I feel really good about Torrey Lovello's rant, even though you probably will hear this and not believe it's a rant. So Diamondbacks a loser, 4-0 day game yesterday, Chase Field. They immediately left after the game, flew to Colorado. Kind of funny. The Avalanche are having their parade, and the Diamondbacks will be there during the off day of an NHL Stanley Cup parade. That's kind of funny. I bet it happens all the time, but it's strange just to think you are a team, a professional sports team, in another city, not having a game yourself, and you're in town at the time where another professional team is celebrating a world championship. I don't know. That's just kind of interesting to me. But they play the Rockies on Friday night. So for Torrey Lovello's temperament, this is a rant. He always walks up, has an opening statement. He had a 2-minute opening statement about this 4-0 loss.
Four single runs, you know, you expect to stay in the game, which we did. You expect to give yourself a chance to win the game. I thought we had one opportunity there in the eighth, and we just couldn't cash in. You know, things were set up nicely. But, they made pitches, and we didn't get the results. I mean, you can look at it a couple ways. I've been saying all along, I think this team is a very good offensive team. I think we need to be stubborn to our approach. Hitting is hard. Hitting's hard. I want to acknowledge that. But we got to be stubborn to our approach and have smarter at-bats. You guys have been sitting in here asking me about our offense for a couple of months now. They spoil us when they do it right. It's simple. It's easy. It's approach-based. The results are there. And then we have games like this. We just got to keep pounding away our message about line drives in the middle of the diamond. You saw several of their hitters do it today. Small sample size, I know that, but it's fresh in our minds about how they scored their runs. I think sometimes you got to give into the at bat, take what the pitcher is giving you, and remember that home runs are thrown and not hit. That's something that I want to touch on because I know you guys are going to eventually get around to the offensive part of this and ask me questions about it. I just feel like we need to have smarter at-bats overall. Bum was more than efficient today. You know, the last couple innings, he ran up his pitch count, but he was digging in and he was preserving and doing his absolute best to keep us in games. I thought he had real good life and finish to all of his pitches early on. Just those two innings of full pitch counts, ran his pitch count up over 100 pitches, but he did enough to help us stay in the ballgame. You know, like I said, offensively, I think David had a bright spot there. He didn't shut down. This team didn't shut down in the eighth and ninth inning. We were still battling as hard as we could. It was just too much or too little too late. And in that eighth inning, when I thought we had just one clean opportunity and couldn't come through.
I easily accept you totally disagreeing with me. You can look at that and say, you call that a rant? I'll show you. No, listen, you're right. If we're going back to the famous Tommy Lasorda, Dave Kingman rant, if you don't have kids around, go ahead and Google that one. If you've never heard it, what do I think of Dave Kingman? It's awesome. If you've never seen the Hal McRae rant, that's fantastic. Okay. There's some awesome managerial meltdowns. So I am not putting that up there with them, but why I'm calling it a rant is because it's Torrey Lovello, and For Torrey Lovello, that was strong. I'm the one that's been saying forever, I need more of that from Torrey Lovello. And we got it. Now let's discuss whether or not it's a good idea. Okay. Before I get into that, I got to tell you, I have loved the game of baseball since I can never remember. I mean, getting jacked up for T-ball games. You know what I mean? Going to Reds games as a kid with my dad. I mean, my dad would just walk in the house. You know, the guy worked all day. And then he'd say, you want to go? Or let's do it? Or just something. He didn't even say, anybody want to go to the Cincinnati Reds game? He would just kind of, you want to go? Let's do, you know, something like that. My brother and I just knew, get in the car, we're going to the Reds game. Middle of the week, we're going to the Reds game. You know, it was awesome. And I say that to let you know how much I love the game. And I feel like I know a lot about the game. I was only a high school varsity player, pretty good, but only a high school varsity player, but lucky enough that everywhere I've went there in my radio career, there's been a strong person within the game that I could sit there and learn from. So I'm in Athens, Ohio, and it's still, even though, you know, I love my college, it's Division I baseball, and I'm the play-by-play voice of Division I baseball. And so I learn from the head coach, Joe Carbone, who was Mike Schmidt's teammate. And then I go to Huntsville, Alabama, and you might say, well, what does Huntsville, Alabama know? Well, Huntsville, Alabama had the longtime AA affiliate of the A's, and then later the Brewers were there. And so I got to know a bunch of scouts there. And there's a small branch college, University of Alabama, Huntsville, that the manager of that team would listen to my show, and we would talk baseball. So I learned so much from those people. And then I go to Kansas City, and now I'm in the middle of the majors. And then here for 15 years. So I'm always learning the game, and I love the game. Sorry for that long speech just to play a 4-second quote. I have never heard this phrase in my life.
And remember that home runs are thrown and not hit.
That was 1.9 seconds. So it was really bad. I would say bad radio. Do I say bad potting? That I gave you a 45-second dissertation of letting you know how much I love the game and going through my life story with baseball just to play you a 2-second quote. So sorry about that. But I've never heard that in my life. No one's ever said that. And of course they've said it. You know, there's no way he just made that up. Home runs are thrown and never hit. Or did he say, I think he said always thrown.
And remember that home runs are thrown and not hit.
Okay, I did get it right. Home runs are thrown and not hit. What he was describing in everything he just went through is why the Diamondbacks are melting down and they're making young mistakes. I don't like the heavily analytic approach. What tunneling is it's a term that was developed a while ago that is about pitchers trying to throw multiple pitches that look the same at the beginning. So therefore, if you throw your changeup from the same arm angle as your fastball and you have the same looking release on it, it comes at the batter in the same way. And now one is 7 miles an hour slower. And then if you can have your slider and another breaking ball or maybe your slider and your change look the same coming out, and then the slider breaks, you've got an advantage. So then it turned into, as a hitter, hey, here's his sequencing. He normally will go after a fastball. If he's got a 1-1 count, he likes to do fastball and then tunnel right behind it the slider. So then it becomes the guy misses that pitch and you're all upset. Wait, he just threw the fastball. You were supposed to know he's throwing the slider. And so I get a little bit worried when you get super processed. Then I think you're no longer being an athlete. And I think far too often the Diamondbacks over the last 5 years have taken the athletes out to try to put robots in. So when you hear him talking approach-based, I don't like that. But I love him saying smarter at-bats, line drives to the middle of the diamond. And then he said, give in to the at-bat. Now, what does he mean there? Give in to the at-bat. That means accept the way the pitcher's pitching you and the defense is playing you and drive the ball the other way. So when you hear the phrase home runs are thrown and not hit, it's quit trying to hit a home run on the pitcher's pitch. The pitcher threw it here, so you hit it there. And stay back and drive the ball. And quit thinking we're down 4-0, I'm going to be the guy that hits a leadoff grand slam and puts us back in the game. And he nailed that point. So everything he said approach base, he's never going to get me with. Never.
I want to be respectful of their starting pitcher. I'll acknowledge that. But we didn't get after it the way I wanted us to. And I think, like I said, offensively, it's probably approach based. I'm going to look at some things before I go any further with that. But I think we weren't swinging at the pitches we could have done damage with. You know, they were quality pitches. I think you got a counterpunch sometimes, and we were more in our power punch than in the counterpunch.
When he says offensively, it's probably approach based. He's looking at it from the concept of, we've been coaching you that this was about to happen, and you didn't allow that to happen. You didn't focus on that happen. It was an unfocused at bat. And listen, if they've got this thing down to the point where they really are correct, well over 85% of the time, of this is what this pitcher does, and we've got it nailed, we know what he's doing, and we told you the curveball was coming. We told you the slider's coming. And you didn't believe it. You didn't stay focused. Then you're not doing your job in the meetings. Then you know what? Maybe you need to sit. I just have a hard time believing they're right enough that I would want to go with the plate with that much in my head. Okay, he threw this, then he threw this, then he threw this. I mean, it's almost like to the point where it's time to give the batter signals. Where the third base coach sends a sign in that says, this is the pitching sequence. I mean, if the pitcher's going to get signs of what to throw, and you're that confident you know what's coming, then it's our time to giving him signs. But if we're talking about the more simplistic, quit trying to hit home runs, drive the ball the other way, keep your hands back on an outside pitch, quit chasing pitches outside the zone because you want to get a hit so bad. Oh, I think he nailed it. And I think that's what he meant at the end by saying we got to start with a counter punch instead of a power punch. And that's how you get deeper into a team's bullpen. That's how you make the pitcher work. You get guys on base. Then he's not pitching from the windup anymore. Now he's got to go to the stretch. It changes the dynamic. Now he might miss a... Well, if he's not using pitch comm, he might miss a sign. You could tell I was rambling there because that's the way old school baseball was. You get more people on base, they miss a sign wild pitch. You know, you never know what might happen. Much better chance to score runs with people on base than somebody just standing at the plate alone. That was Coach Keith Robinson right there, if you didn't know. If you couldn't tell, that just rattled off real quick. That stunk yesterday. And it really let the offense was so poor, it let the bullpen off the hook. Nelson, technically with an unearned run, but it was his error. So to me, it's earned. You can't screw up. You can't make a bad defensive play and then say, oh, the defense let me down. You were the defense. But Nelson gave up a run. Ramirez gave up a run. Mantiply came in and did not give up a run. And then Kennedy gave up a run. So your bullpen pitched four innings, gave up four runs. Mad bum. Okay. You only gave up one earned run. But for 17 mil, can we get a sixth inning out of you? Come on. It's really, really frustrating. So 1-1 in this 18-game stretch of playing nothing but National League Western Division teams. 1-1. Again, I'm not trying to sell you something. I don't think they're even remotely a playoff team. But if they are, then let's go here. These 18 games, you've got to be, with the start that you've had, you've got to be 11-7. And you just blew one there. That was bad. All right, coming up next. Of course, it's versus Vegas, but beforehand, I want to talk Cardinals, and I want to give you a bet that I 100% know is going to happen, and it's because of what's just been happening the last 2 weeks. That's next on Doug Franz Unplugged. I almost just caused a paper cut on my forehead. What a doofus. I was waving my sheet around thinking I'm funny. And then I hit myself in the face. I told you I wasn't going to cuss on this thing, but that was close. That was just so stupid that I deserved it. I got three wagers here for you for versus Vegas. I'll get to the music and everything in a second, but it's time for me to give you another wager. Wherever you see Cardinals futures, and I'm normally not like a futures guy, it's time to bet the under on Cardinals wins. I bet for the most part, you're going to find 8.5 to 9 wins on an over-under. And remember, it's a 17-game season. So we're talking about, are the Cardinals going to be 9-8 or better, or 8-9 or worse? And something's been going on lately that it's now just, it's officially a hardcore thing to look at. What is going on with Rodney Hudson, center for the Arizona Cardinals? He didn't come to any of the OTAs and had an unexcused absence at minicamp. Most people are saying he's retiring. When you retire from the NFL, and it doesn't apply to Larry, because when Larry, in a sense, retired without retiring, he wasn't under contract. Rodney Hudson is under contract. He did receive a signing bonus. And that signing bonus is tied to you playing out your contract. So if you retire, the team has the right to come after you. The team has the right to say, okay, let's prorate your salary, your signing bonus, over the time that you were supposed to be paid, and we want the remainder years back. So if you sign, let's say, a four-year deal, and you only play 1 year of that four-year deal, you're supposed to get, you could be forced to give back 75% of your signing bonus. Sadly, a lot of the guys have already spent it. So then you kind of force yourself to play so you don't have to sell anything. Maybe this is simple. Maybe give him a new contract and he comes back. Maybe it's not quite that simple, but it ends up being that simple. There's two kinds of holdouts in this retirement battle. The somewhat fake retirement where I really don't want to retire. I really want to keep playing, but this is my only card because I don't really want to move. So don't trade me, but you better pay me more or I'm not playing. The second kind of retirement threat is I'm really retiring because it's just not worth it to me. Now, if you want to give me a big raise, you might make it worth it to me, but I'm not really into it right now. So you have to pay me to give me, oh yeah, that's enough money. Okay, now I'm into it. And then there's the third. This isn't negotiating. I'm just done. Rodney Hudson is a fantastic center. And if you're like a, I don't want to say a below average fan, because that's kind of being a jerk. I don't know how to say it in a non-insulting way. If you love football, but you just don't dive into the X's and O's very well, you might not realize how vitally important the center is, because the center is the one that calls out most of the blocking protections, or most of the, actually, it's not called blocking, most of the protection schemes. You either say he calls out the blocking or he calls out the protection schemes, and I just decided to put it together. But like a Tom Brady, okay, he handles everything. But the center's right there like, hey, have you seen this? Have you seen this? The center is the eyes of the entire O-line, really. And DJ Humphreys had his best season. Justin Pugh had his best season. These guys had some of their best seasons, and that's kind of sad because they still weren't all that great. But it's because of Rodney Hudson. And then there's the extra thing you're going to put on Kyler Murray when you put a guy at center who might not have the football IQ that Rodney Hudson does. And this has gone on so long now that to me, this is official. I'm not reporting to you, and I want to be clear, I'm not secretly reporting to you, meaning I know something and I'm letting you know secretly. I don't know something more than the average dude that has a couple phone numbers of Cardinals people. Nobody has sent me something recently. I just think this thing is real. And it might get to be a case where one time, gosh, how long ago was this? Remember Lyle Sendlein? This is about 11 years ago, maybe. I might be making up that year. I can't remember how long ago it was. But Lyle Sendlein wanted more money. Cardinals didn't want to pay him. So he, in a sense, retired. He just sat at home. Cardinals went all the way into their first preseason game, and the center position was so bad, they signed Lyle Sendlein, and he came back. It could be a case where after preseason game number one, it's like, all right, what do you need here? We need you back. But I'm telling you, this bet that I was talking about, bet the under on the Cardinals. I'm not believing that suddenly and magically their middle linebackers are going to be great. I'm not believing that suddenly and magically they can replace Chandler Jones with rookies. I'm not going to believe that suddenly and magically they're going to be able to handle the cornerback position. And I don't think there's any chance that Kyler Murray is going to be dramatically improved. And I think his line is getting weaker. And then all of this without D-Hop for six games? Listen, I really need you to listen. I mean to the show, not like, listen, I really need you to listen. No, I mean, listen for effect. I got to stop saying that. I want you to be able to listen to Doug Franz Unplugged and be excited when you listen. You know, I want to tell you your teams are great. This is going to be awesome. I think, and I've never blamed Michael Bidwell for anything. I think Michael Bidwell, for the most part, is a very, very good owner. I think this is a massive screw up. The contract extensions of Cliff Keim and the potential one that's coming to Kyler. They should have all played this year under the last one and let them earn it. So now what's going to happen? I'm not talking about they're going to go 3-14, but compared to the way they talk, yeah, this is not a playoff team. And to me, it's a double digits in losses. I'm taking 7-10, 6-11, something like that. And if I'm finding an over-under that's sitting at 8.5, 9, 9.5, oh yeah, big U, baby. Big U. Versus Bayo. There'll be some dancing. It's just two claps, though. I kind of like the 2-1 thing. I would certainly rather be 3-0, but I like saying, hey, here are my three games, and then being 2-0 and being done. Or 2-1. And hitting 67%, move on to the next day. That's not bad. The one I missed makes me mad, though. How did Mad Bum pitch well? I took San Diego and the Diamondbacks to be over 8.5. It wasn't even close. Padres a winner 4-0. But Clevinger, who does well for a few innings and then kind of falls on his face, and then Mad Bum being, you know, for the most part bad, and then other than Mantiply, a bullpen that, you know, has been known to blow things, even if it's, you know, I don't know, 7 runs, and then Melanson comes in, gives up 2, boom, I got 9, I got my over. I don't know. I was thinking I had that one. I missed that one. The other two I got, but not super comfortable. I took the Yankees to cover the run line against Oakland. They did it. They won 5-3. And I took the Braves on the road to cover the run line against Philadelphia. They grabbed it 4-1. So I got that one too. So I went 2-1. That improves the record to 365-302. Love that. 365-302. All right, games for tonight. I'm really jacked up about my games tonight. I love them. I think I crushed it. Seattle covering the run line against Oakland. I like that one. Here's why. Oakland just played Wednesday in New York. Have any of you actually done the New York to Seattle flight? I have not. I'm highly confident that I never will. So to fly from New York to Seattle to be the road team when Seattle's already at home, they haven't gone anywhere, and Oakland's got, they're facing one of the best pitchers in baseball. If you haven't been paying attention, and why would you to Seattle? Logan Gilbert's 8-3, 244, I don't care about the record really, 244 ERA, 109 whip. He's doing great. I get him against a tired Oakland team. All right, I'm all over it. Another one is again about the pitching. Be careful if you're going to go with me on this one, because a lot of people are not going to go with me on this one. All right? Padres at Dodger Stadium. You're getting a 1.5, so plus 1.5. I'm taking the run. But I get Joe Musgrove. Joe Musgrove for the Padres is 8-0 with an 0.95 whip. 0.95. And Mitch White has only got his 10th career start. He's pitching for the Dodgers. He's got a 4.25 ERA and an A 1.15 whip, which is good. But I get Musgrove and I get a small little timing thing. Padres day game in Phoenix, flying to LA. In bed pretty easy. They're in bed in LA before the Dodgers are. Dodgers at Colorado last night. First pitch at 5:40. The Rockies didn't give them a night game. So they had to play into the night, take that four-hour drive from Denver to the Denver airport, then fly home to LA and get in late, and then turn around and play today. Plus, usually coming down off the Rocky Mountain High takes a little out of you. So I get travel out of Colorado, a night game while the Padres got to play a day game, even though they did travel, and I get Joe Musgrove versus a kid that's on his 10th career start. Love those two games. And another one, I got the Reds on the run line against the Cubs. I forget who's pitching for the Reds. I think it's Cosgrove. I can't remember who's pitching for the Reds. But this is going to sound dumb. I know he's good, and I forgot to write it down. So I get one of their best pitchers. Oh my gosh, I just blanked. Sorry about that. But I get one of the best pitchers, and I get the run line in my favor, and it's against a bad Cubs team. I'm telling you, I'm going 3-0 tonight. Yes, I'm talking trash to Vegas. I feel great about the three games I found. That does it for today's version of Doug Franz Unplugged. Don't forget today, if you can, please watch Props Arizona presented by Betfred Sports or listen to it, Apple, Spotify, wherever it is that you get your podcast. At the same time, don't forget about the sponsors. I already talked about Burrito Express, Rosati's, and Bell's. But if you need anything with your heating, cooling, plumbing, and air conditioning, boy, it's getting hot. 602-2-REPAIR. They'll take care of you. And they always put seniors first. So if you've got a loved one that's a little older, they can make sure that they'll get out there, especially in this heat, to make sure that they're okay. And then at the same time, 602-899-7000 is the phone number for Ideal Home Loans. I'll see you tomorrow.